Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being with us amidst our challenges, for guiding us, even in those times, maybe when we have gotten off course, and yet you are there, you are with us, you haven't left us. And it's a sign, in fact, that there is a relationship there. We are coming to know you, and you already know us. And you love us anyway. Lord, as I stand before you today, I am not at all sure that the text that I prepared for today is appropriate, and I feel like I missed your Holy Spirit. I asked you, didn't get a no, but just guide my words today, because I don't know. Never tried to do anything off the cuff like this, and may yet go back to the. To the program, but I just want you to guide my words, that what comes out comes from your Holy Spirit. Your word never returns void, but there's a time and a season for every truth, for everything, and I want to know that the truth that we speak today is the truth that you want your people to hear. So, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Open our hearts to hear from your word today, whether it be what's in my notes here or what you speak directly. In Jesus' name, amen. Might be a short one today. I know that just breaks your heart. I was going to talk today about knowing Jesus. And if you read the blog, you might have seen, like, okay, you're talking to a bunch of church people. Everybody's listening to you, probably going to be church people. Not necessarily. There's always that hope that you reach somebody new. And that's why I try to incorporate the gospel every time I speak in some way, because you never know who might be hearing, especially since we go live and it's public. And you never know what's in people's hearts. So you keep stressing the truth over and over again. Keep going back to the gospel over and over again, because it's the only thing that really matters. And so we ask the question, do you know Jesus? And for those of us who are Christians, we mean something very specific by that, or at least we think we do. But, and what I have to say today is true, that the evidence of knowing Jesus is going to come out in our lives, because the more that we've come to know him as Lord, the more we serve him, and the evidence of that knowledge comes out in our actions. And someone who says that they know Jesus and yet their life shows no evidence of it, John in chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, where we may still yet end up today, says he's a liar. Now, that may be because he doesn't know any better, but an unintentional lie is still a lie. And it's up to us to share the truth. And that's what he was doing, making sure that they understood, look, you can't say one thing and do another. You've got to, if you really belong to the Lord, your life's going to show it. But knowing Jesus is so much more. Knowing Jesus, if keeping the rules would allow you to know Jesus, then the Pharisees would have had it going on. And granted, now Jesus was had just come in on the scene, and they didn't understand who he was yet. But if keeping the law, keeping all God's rules, meant that you knew God, well, then man, they had it. They had it down pat. But Jesus said, "No, you missed it. You got all the, you got the letter. You missed the spirit." Knowing Jesus is about relationship. When we talk about knowing somebody, most of us, sorry, I'm skipping over some things here. There's no one, and then there's no one. Some people we know about. We've read something that they've written. We saw them on TV. Most of us aren't going to say that we know those people. We just know about them. There are a lot of people who, that's what they know about God. They know about him. They might believe that he exists, and they were raised in Sunday school, but they only know about him. They don't have a relationship with him. And then there are people that we've met at least once, or we've talked to them online or something. There's a little bit more going on there. We could say that we know them, but we, if pressed, couldn't really tell you a whole lot about them. And with God, some of us can be that way. We say a prayer every once in a while because that's what we're supposed to do, or if we get in trouble. But we don't want to get too deep. We don't want it to affect our lives in any way. And then there are those that we call friends, a term that we use rather loosely these days, especially on places like Facebook. But it should mean something. A friend should be, a true friend is somebody that you know a lot about them, and you love them. You love them even though you know their faults. You enjoy being together. You help each other out even when it costs something. Jesus told us how to be his friends. He said, "Keep my word." Now, that would sound wrong coming from anybody else, but because he loves us, and because everything in his word is for our good, for him to say that, it's his way of saying back to us, "I love you. I love you, so I'm going to give you everything you need. Here it is. It's in this book. And it's what I want. It's what I want because I love you." And so we love him back by doing what's in there. Not because we're afraid that fire and brimstone is going to rain down on us if we don't. Because we love him. Amen. Because we want to please him. Because we want a relationship with him. Then we have our family. Some of the people in family we love, but maybe we wish we didn't know. But we know them better than everybody else. We love them despite those challenges because they're family. And your spouse is, of course, your family because you married them, but also your best friend. It's supposed to be. But Jesus adopted us into his family. Amen. So we ask the question, do we know Jesus? And probably everyone that is hearing me would answer yes, maybe not. Some because they said a prayer one time and they walked down the aisle, but nothing ever changed. If they go to church even once in a while, or if they think it'll just make you go away and back off. Depending on the understanding that we have, maybe we don't know, maybe we don't understand the question either. But we should consider our answer. Because knowing Jesus is more than knowing about him. Knowing Jesus is more than knowing who he is. It's more than the things we do when we go to church. It's knowing his heart. It's walking with him in obedience and fellowship. And we're able to do that because he's given us his Holy Spirit. Most of us, I dare say probably none of us that I'm talking to will have on this earth met Jesus in person. But we have all got access to his Holy Spirit. And you can come to know Jesus and be able to answer that question, yes. Yes, I know Jesus. And the more we get to know Jesus, the more we want everybody else to know him too. And I'm speaking today from a place of conviction in my own life. Because I need to know him better. I need to love like he loves. I need to be as interested in doing what he wants me to do as I am in doing what I want to do and what makes me happy. And I hope that someday those two things come together and be the same thing. That's where we want to be.
Amen.
John writes, I guess we're going to move forward. John writes in chapter 2 of 1 John, "My little children, I am writing to you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the whole world." This is how we know him. If we keep his commandments, the one who says, "I have come to know him," and yet doesn't keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly in him the love of God is made complete. This is how we know we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. Ooh, that's a tall order. But praise God. That's what knowing Jesus is all about. Getting to the place where we're walking with him. Doing the things that he does. Thinking the same thoughts. Now John is writing this. He says that you may not sin. Now, he just got through saying in the previous chapter that anyone who says that he hasn't sinned is a liar. So, obviously, he's not saying that we don't mess up. And he's about to tell us how our sins are paid, have been paid for. We'll never be able to live a completely sinless life as long as we're here in our natural bodies. But and to sin, we've talked about this before, all that word just means that you missed the target. You might be aiming, but you missed. God's here to fix our aim. In our weakness and imperfect knowledge, yeah, we're going to sin. But Jesus stands in for us as our advocate. We must not live a sinful life. Deliberate, and I'm talking about deliberate disobedience. I'm talking about rebellion. I'm talking about choosing purposefully what is wrong. And when in those times when we do mess up, Jesus stands before the judge. Jesus stands before the judge and he says, he's guilty. She's guilty. Now punish me. And we're not guilty anymore. A lot of your translations probably have that word propitiation in the translation. This particular one that I read from today, Christian Standard Bible, spells that out a little bit so we understand it. Atoning sacrifice. It is the necessary. It actually comes from a word that was used in the pagan world for, you know, what you would do to appease a god. But it has been, and it serves in this place to indicate that there is a price to be paid, that God does require justice. He does require a price. But Jesus paid it. The blood sacrifice was necessary to cleanse from sin, and only His could do it. And not only for us, but He says also for the world. Now, what does that mean? Some people might try to say that, well, that means everybody gets in. It was for the whole world. But it is certainly sufficient for everyone who will. For everyone who will accept it. How do we know that we know? Again, it comes back. It comes back to that obedience. And again, it's not an obedience out of fear, although there's a certain amount of respect that is certainly due Almighty God, and there is certainly a fear that is legitimate if you're going to decide to go your own way and refuse to listen to Him. But it's out of love. And I'm going to skip over some things that I've already said here in the introduction because I got ahead of myself. But doing it comes from a heart. Doing what He says comes from a condition of our heart, a desire to please Him. Paul said that God created the good works for us to do that we would walk in them. Yes, it's grace that saves us. That same passage says, I'm thinking about Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. We don't have anything, we can't claim anything in that. We've got nothing to boast about. It was His grace that did it. But He created then those good works for us to walk in. Not because He needed some slaves, but because in doing that, we get to participate in His work. In doing that, we get to be part of His heart. That when we start looking at it that way, it changes the whole perspective. Instead of looking at these things, oh, well, I'm supposed to do this, and I'm supposed to do that, and oh, man, I can't do that. Instead, we ought to be seeing it as, wow, I get to be a part of that. You mean you're going to let me help? I feel like the little kid in the kitchen. Let me help, let me help. I'm just about as effective, too. But God lets me help. Oh, that's awesome. I get to be a part of what he's doing. That's what knowing him is all about. Oh, thank you, Lord. You redeem even my laziness. Praise God. But yes, there is the other side to that. That if there's no evidence in our lives, if we're not even trying, then we don't know him. There's no room for ambiguity here. Knowing him leaves us with no alternatives. If we really know him, if we really consider him Lord, then we're going to do what he said. Because he's Lord. Oh, but he's such a good Lord. That's what you come to know when you come to know him. He's such a good God. And yeah, we go through stuff, and I know that every single one, that's why I said, Lord, I must have really messed up today. Man, this is not, people are hurting. They don't need to hear this. But coming from a different angle, maybe it's exactly what we need to hear. With the realization that, yeah, we're going to go through stuff, but when we've come to know that our God is good, really know that down in our hearts, then we can look at the things that happen with a different perspective. If my God is really good, and my God is really all-powerful, then I don't have to wonder at what's happening to me. I don't have to think, now, am I going to create some of my own trouble? Yeah. Do I need to be examining myself all the time and making sure that I'm really doing what I should be doing? Yeah. But you know what I also know? That even if I mess up, God is big enough to fix it. That even if I mess up, he knew that was going to happen too. That was part of his plan too. He can even take that and make something good out of it. And he has. He's done that for me. I've seen it in my life. When we get to that place where we really know Jesus, know his character, know his heart, then anything we go through in life, we can go through with that sense of security, that sense of peace, that sense of joy. Okay, yeah, this is bad, Lord, and I really wish it would stop, but I know you're doing something good. Praise God. I hadn't been this excited in a while. Praise God. It's all about the love. He ends this up by saying that love is perfected in one that keeps his word. That should tell you something about what his word is. About the ultimate thrust, the ultimate picture of his word is love. Yes, it's justice and it's all these other things too, but it's all out of love. Know that. Rest in that. When we pick up this the book or the app or whatever it is we're getting the Bible out of, and we read those things, those instructions, we can look at them as, okay, Lord, you know what? I wish all my friendships were like this. I wish all of, you know, to me, life would be a lot simpler if people just tell me what they want, and I could do it. He's got it all right there for us. And we know that because he's a loving God, it's all good. Are we going to, you know, he also talks about dying to ourselves. It's not an easy process. Oh, but it's so worth it. This is how we are, know that we are in him. If we keep his commandments, He said, if you will keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That's from John 15:10. We are heirs. We are joint heirs with Jesus. We're adopted into the family of the Heavenly Father. We can have that same relationship. It's been given to us. If we claim to know him, we're going to do as he did. We're going to love as he loved. We're going to stand firmly in the truth. And we're willing to give up even our own lives. Now, lots of people claim to know Jesus. And some really do. Some just find it convenient. Others just want to fit in at church. Some claim that they know what he would do because it's what they want to do, and they're remaking Jesus in their image. Others want to justify themselves. And if you hold up a standard and say, no, that's not what he said, well, you're a legalist. You're religious. You're judgmental. You're judging me. Well, we have to be careful that we don't do that. We do have to be conscious of the fact that we have our own individual weaknesses. Paul said in one place, don't think too highly of yourself. Watch out lest you fall into the same trap. And we have seen that happen on a grand scale. There is a standard for all of us. And that standard is Jesus. And we want to know him. To know him is to love him and to recognize that he is the sovereign Lord. And because of that, yes, we obey him. And yep, we're all going to fall short. But there's a difference between falling short and there's a difference between falling and diving. Jesus is there to catch you if you fall. Somebody that's living in open rebellion against his clear commandment is claiming to know him. But Jesus said, that's a lie. You may not know it, but that's a lie. And so, take this as a warning. Yes, in our own lives, because we all need to be careful. We all need to be aware. But also, as something that we can share. Because it is so important in this day and time, especially that we stand firm, that we keep sharing the truth. The people who stand against us are in danger. The people who stand against, you know, a lot of times when you want to go and you get into a war and you fight an enemy, well, you know, your objective is to destroy the enemy, to hurt the enemy so bad they can't hurt you. But Paul said, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Right. Our real enemy are not those people who are opposing us. Our real enemy is Satan. Right. And so when we push back, and when we stand up for the truth, and when we stand against these things that are wrong, and And yes, against the people who are behind it, we ought to always remember that God loves them too. That his ultimate desire would be for them to be converted. And yes, sometimes we have to stand up and we have to say things that are unpopular. But we say them for one reason. We say them because we're motivated by love. We say them because we want people to see the truth and we want people to turn from that evil stuff. And we all know people who are living this way. And yeah, a lot of them go to church. We ought not to take their peril lightly. Love does not keep silent. So, finally, and I'm pretty sure I'm not speaking to anybody who's in front of me. Only you and God know, but I'm pretty sure about that. But for anybody who might be listening, I have one final word. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. That's from Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Thank you, Lord. Thank you again for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you. I will confess, I failed this weekend. I didn't do what I should have done. I didn't. I took the easy way. But you and your grace and your mercy redeemed it. And you spoke today. And I'm so grateful. And I'm so thankful. Lord, let us all come to know you more deeply, that we may be about doing what you want us to do, that we may feel that joy and that sense of wonder that comes from being a part of your work and doing the things that you do. What could be better than that? Oh, help us, Lord, to see that. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.